Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Upi jana balava kiri baradari Jai gopi jana balava kiri baradari Sodanandana Vaja Janaranjana Vasodanandana Vaja Janaranjana Yamuna Pira Bharatari Yamuna Tira Banachari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Baradari Jai Sodanandana Vrajajanarandana Jasodanandana Vrajajanarandana Jamuna Tira Bharachari Jamuna Tira Bharachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Shabbatam Hamsa Patibhara Rada Sri Samadabhaya Chavarinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskand Founder Charger Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai Antakoti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsi Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhar Sri Basari Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Madhava Gokubina Shama Kundurada Kandagri Govardhana Ki Jai Sri Vindam Simtharudham Ki Jai Navri Maya Padham Ki Jai Shri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Ganga Mahi Jamuna Mahi ki jai, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Sangha Veda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Harinama Sankirtan ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nithai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, entitled King Yayati Achieves Liberation, Text 28. 27 and 28. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Savatra everywhere in this material world, Sangam, association, Utsrijya, giving up, Swapna Upamayena, by the analogy of a dream, Bhargavi Devyani, the daughter of Sukacharya, Krishna, unto Lord Krishna, Manaha, complete attention, Samaveshya, fixing, Vyadhunot, gave up, Lingam, the gross and subtle bodies, Atmanaha, of the soul. I read 27, then we come to 28, responsibly. Sasani vasan suritam krapayam ivaga chattam vignayeshvara tandranam maya viratitam prabho. 28. Sarvatra sangam utsrijya svatno pamyena bhargavi Krishne mana samavesya vyadhuno lingamatmana savatra sangam utrijya svatna upamyena bhargavi Krishne mana samavesya Yadhuno lingamatmana Savata sangamutrija Satno pamhena bhargavi Krishne mana samadvesha Samadvesha Yadhuno lingamatmana Sangam Utsrijya Satnam Uponya Bhargavi Krishne Mana Samadhyasya Yadhuno Lingamatsmana 알지?
Translation. Thereafter, Devayani, the daughter of Sukracharya, understood that the materialistic association of husband, friends and relatives is like the association in a hotel full of tourists. The relationships of society, friendship and love are created by the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as in a dream. By the grace of Krishna, Devayani gave up her imaginary position in the material world. Completely fixing her mind upon Krishna, she achieved liberation from the gross and subtle bodies. Please repeat. Thereafter, Devayani, the daughter of Sukracharya, understood that the materialistic associations of husband, friends and relatives is like the association in a hotel full of tourists. The relationships of society, friendship and love are created by the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as in a dream. By the grace of Krishna, Devayani gave up her imaginary position in the material world, completely fixing her mind upon Krishna. She achieved liberation from the gross and subtle bodies. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One should be convinced that he is a spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman, Krishna, but has somehow or other been entrapped by the material coverings of the gross and subtle bodies, consisting of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. One should know that the association of society, friendship, love, nationalism, religion, and so on are nothing but creations of Maya. One's only business is to become Krishna conscious and render service unto Krishna as extensively as possible for a living being. In this way, one is liberated from material bondage. By the grace of Krishna, Devayani attained this stage through the instructions of her husband. End of proverb. Om Ajnanantarandasya Ajnanasrakaya Chakshurmirjamne Tarshmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnudaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutare Simhati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shandavari Paschat Chate Satarine
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation again thereafter. Devayani, the daughter of Sukacharya, understood that the materialistic association of husbands, friends and relatives is like the association in a hotel full of tourists. The relationships of society, friendship and love are created by the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as in a dream. By the grace of Krishna, Devayani gave up her imaginary position in the material world, completely fixing her mind upon Krishna. She achieved liberation from the gross and subtle bodies.
That is end of the last one more verse of this chapter. King Ayati achieves liberation. This is another success story in Bhagavatam. When King Ayati was the emperor and he exchanged his youth for his son. It's a very powerful living entities. This is way back in Jatayuga. He could transfer your youth to old age and the other way around. So he did that with his son. Then he was with his enjoying his position for 1,000 years. Here they lived a long time. 10,000 years, the lifespan in Jatayuga. And then eventually it dawned on him that there's no real satisfaction here. When you wake up in the morning, you've got to go through the day to meet your needs and fulfill your desires. Then you may go to sleep peacefully and then you wake up and start again. Try to get through the day and fulfill your desires. So that's, if one is a little broad-minded, one should ask the question, there must be something more to life than this. Then eventually one day, you know, you go to sleep and you don't wake up, right? You wake up in another body at that time. So a thoughtful person would question this. Why this urge, why this endeavor for satisfaction and happiness? And after the endeavor, the little happiness and success that we achieve, then you have to, the next morning is the same thing, you have to start again. So it's not real happiness, little happiness, little relief, a little happiness, but it's not actually satisfying. Because ultimately, you know, you're going to leave it all together, and then what? You don't know what's going to happen. So life is very mysterious. So unless one has information of what the purpose of life is, which can only be had from the designer of life, the giver of life, the designer of life, who is somebody beyond our life, material life, must be. So only from that, hearing from that outside source, the transcendent, beyond the material sky, material effect, then one can actually understand. So this is the Bhagavatam is given this information. It starts from beyond the material sky, from beyond the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam starts at the point of liberation. So here this is a success story. Both King Ayati and Devayani, they achieved their eternal relationship with the Lord. So that was success. But
the endeavor, but that was only after he gave up the endeavor, the pursuit for material happiness. So that's kind of a prerequisite. If one is actually serious, that's a test of how serious we are about going back to Godhead and serving Krishna. So there we have material world is like a test. Test our faith in Krishna, to test our ability to test everything, that we're, what is more important, Krishna's happiness or my happiness? So you're being presented with these opportunities of relief, because the material world is actually a difficult situation for the spirit soul who's not obliged by birth, old age, disease, death, hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear. These are all alien to the soul. But now we're experiencing them because our consciousness is projected through the body. So we're identifying ourselves as this material body. And so we're being subject to all these, afflicted by all these troublesome things. Dukkhalaya, Krishna says, a place of misery, miserable conditions that we don't want, uncomfortable situations. So always pressed, always have to keep eating all day long, right? Two or three times a day you have to eat. Takes so much time, sleeping. So these are all things we'd rather not do. I mean, of course, we like to eat prasad, don't we? But that is because when you eat prasad, it gives relief, right? It gives relief of the pain, and it gives some energy, and then you feel, wow, let's enjoy it. But if he wasn't feeling distressed, if there was no pain, you wouldn't be eating anyway. Why would you eat? You eat initially to stop the pain, which you know will come. So therefore, we're intelligent. We eat before we get the pain. We eat before we get hungry. We eat. We regulate our lives. We stay one step ahead of Maya. Then that is called success. But endeavors to offset the kleshes, material kleshes, they're alien. They're not in the spiritual world. They're not really part of our nature. You don't have to deal with them in the spiritual world, because everything is at the same spiritual quality. So here is difficult. And the endeavor that we do is very time consuming compared with the actual relief we feel and the pleasure we feel. Most of the time it's working, right? Defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Defending is the biggest part, because that includes your whole day, your work, your study, whatever you're doing. That's consider defending. So that takes the major part of our time or life. How to stay one step ahead of the out of trouble. And then and if you do that, you're considered successful in life, right? Any success in life, well, the insurance companies, if you see the insurance company poster, you know, you just pay a little bit every month, a little bit. And then you can have this, and they should actually do the picture of the house with the rose-covered cottage and the wife and the husband and the two children and the car and the driveway. And that's like it, getting insurance award. Now you're safe, now you're secure. It's a kind of dream in many cultures around the world. That's a dream. That's like fulfillment. If you've got your house and you've paid for it, and you've got a good salary, and you've got all those things, then that's supposed to be success in life. you made it, you're successful, you're fulfilled, and everyone's going for that. It's hard to get that. It's hard. But actually, they're still not fulfilled. Anyone have it, you're still not fulfilled. It's just a promise. The insurance companies say that we keep paying you money every week, every month. And don't worry, if your car has an accident, we'll pay for it. If you get sick, we'll pay for it. Right? So then you have a feeling of security, yes. Society, friendship, love, you have that feeling. Yeah, I'm secure. Then you can be a bit more free and happy, and then you can think about enjoying life without any worries. But it takes a long time to achieve that situation where you've got where your house is paid for and you've got all those things. But in any case, it's temporary. You've achieved the material, so-called material fulfillment. You've done what you're supposed to do. But still, how long can you remain in like that? And generally, you're through the youthhood by that time. You're over 40 by that time, by the time you've got all that security. Then everything's going down. The senses are going down. You're being left behind. You can't keep up. Your ability is going. So then you have to look for, enjoyment in different ways. Enjoyment in the youth, the sports or passionate stuff, excitement. But when you get older, it's got to be more subdued kind of enjoyment. because you can't keep up. So, but eventually it's gradually taken away. It's all gradually, all the abilities to enjoy it, which you worked hard for, the ability to enjoy it as you dreamed of, is not the same because you don't have that ability anymore. So this is the illusion of the material world. So Yayati, King Yayati, it dawned on him, he's an intelligent person, and he obviously had good training, because he knew to surrender to Krishna, same with his wife. So then it just dawned on him, so then he wanted out, and then he told that analogy of the goat, the he-goat and the she-goat, which was his own life, their own life story. How they're just pursuing happiness through sense gratification and position. And he enlightened her by his grace. He enlightened her by Krishna's mercy, it says here. Ultimately, it's the Lord's mercy. Right? Krishna says, I reveal that knowledge with the shining lamp of knowledge. Krishna reveals that knowledge. Krishna reveals that, removes that ignorance so we can see clearly. He reveals that, and he reveals his relationship. He lifts that ignorance so that his relationship is revealed. Ultimately, it's him. But also to Krishna, through Yayati, he instructed Devayani. So it says that by the mercy of Krishna, through Yayati, then he attained that. Then when one actually gives it up, gives up that endeavor, that's called liberation. So liberation is on, there's many different levels of liberation. Here it appears, they're liberated while in this body, Mukhajiva. Liberation from this, it's material consciousness. It's only the consciousness that has to be adjusted. It's not the not actually the lifestyle, it's not you actually give up the lifestyle. You have to give up, or you have to change the paradigm or the intention of your life's desires. You can't stop desiring, and you can't stop living, so you have to have some society in which to live. And since you can't stop desiring, then you have to change the quality of your desires. And that's the actual liberation on one stage. So, in the spiritual world, they have society, friendship and love. It's there, right? There's all those different relationships going on in the spiritual world. Krishna goes to the assembly house with all the other leaders and the King Ugrasena. And there's the entertainers come on, right? The joke just has come on, and some music, fine music, and some dancers, things like that. They have some entertainment. And they bring they read the problems of what's going on, and various things that need doing. They discuss all those things. So even in the spiritual world, which we see from the example in the material world, when the prakat lila goes on, Krishna was doing all those things. He had his religious system, right? He'd wake up and meditate on himself. So here, when it mentions, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, one should know that the association of society, friendship, love, nationalism, religion, and so on are nothing but creations of Maya. But that's only on the material sense, because they do exist there. They have their, right, the Yadu dynasty, Kuru dynasty. They identify with that. They have that enmity between them sometimes, sometimes friendship. Thank you. So it's there, but when it's done on the material platform or in bodily consciousness, so then that's material. Then there's a reaction, because you're actually doing it for your self, your own self interest, to improve your future. For the future and enjoy the future. This is what the material world means. These are the two activities of the material world. But when you see that it doesn't work, there has to be a revelation from the heart. So, and then you can actually see that it's not worth it. And then you can give it up, not by intelligence, but by, initially it's intelligence, but it's like now we're acting on intelligence, Buddha Yoga, right? We're following this process out of intelligence. Krishna says those are intelligence, they will take the Sankirtan movement. So although we may not consider ourselves intelligent, we've taken to the Sankirtan movement somehow or other. So those with sufficient intelligence say, in Kali Yuga, they will take to the Sankirtan movement. But why have we taken to it? Mainly, Krishna says there's four reasons why we take to it. So mainly it's to get over the suffering, or get out of the material world and into that beautiful place where we enjoy it. So the same principle is there. The desire to stop the suffering, the desire to enjoy is there. So that's, now we dovetail that with Krishna, we're going to Krishna for it. But in the initial stage, it's still self-interest. We're not going, none of the four people that surrender to Krishna in this material world are going for Krishna's pleasure. So none of them are pure bhaktas. None of them are actually constitutionally situated, although they're the best in the world. So it means when you actually give up that desire to that, you will be satisfied if you can get a nice situation in the material world, and then you will be happy. That desire has to be given up. It's not just an intellectual understanding. That's not liberation. The intellectual understanding, that's not jnana, knowledge. We know it's right, and we're doing it. We're acting on intelligence. But there's no bhava in the intelligence. The emotions, the feelings are done in the mind. So it's the mind that has to give it up. You've got to be so convinced, huh, that conviction is a stage before you actually give it up. Prabhupada uses the words like one has to be disgusted with the material world, or Queen Kunti says when one is exhausted, materially exhausted, fatigued. When you're materially exhausted, fatigued, that means direct experience. You've tried it, you're still not satisfied, you're still not fulfilled. You've done what you're supposed to do, you've got that position, whatever it is, the stuff. But still there's something not there. You're not completely satisfied, you're still not fulfilled. And then by hearing of what is actually going on from the spiritual realm, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sadhus, we can understand it's a futile attempt to try to adjust the constantly changing material energy for a peaceful situation. How can it be peaceful? It's constantly changing material energy. Three modes of nature are constantly applying for dominion over the other modes of nature. Adhyatmik adi, bhautik adi, devik. Your karma's coming, your time for your good karma, time for your bad karma. It's constantly fluxing, the material world. Your bodies are constantly changing. So how can you find consistency, which is what we're looking for, peace? How can you find consistency in something that is constantly evolving and moving and going up and down? So that is illusion. So you need some realization. So either by practical experience, or if you're really intelligent, you can hear and accept it and just actually surrender. Say it's a fact. I'm through, I'm finished, I'm exhausted. But otherwise you go the other way and you actually exhaust yourself. You actually go through the process of trying to fulfill the dream, the material dream. And it takes people a whole lifetime, generally. So then at that last time, when the realization comes a lot of realization comes in the last days, when you really are helpless, right? When you're about to leave the body, then you have no ability. Everything is taken away from you. And all your assets and all your everything is meaningless. Your friends can't help you, right? Your society can't help you. Your loving relationships can't help you anymore. On the material platform, I'm talking about. Who can help you? So then you feel disappointed, you're let down. So at that time you understand, Bhagavatam was right. Well, I knew this 50 years ago. Why didn't I apply it? Why did I still pursue it? They said it was just a waste of time. But I thought, no, well, maybe I could do it because I'm a little special or whatever. I could do it. So that's the illusion. And then it's easy to surrender. You're right, Krishna. Practical experience. But that's the third class. You're intelligent, you can do it immediately by the grace of Krishna. So even living in the material world with the society, friendship and love, if it's based on service to Krishna, then it's okay. And that society, your friendship, love, that's liberating. It's the same principle to them. It's the same background. It's the same activities daily, eating, sleeping, mating. They're going on. But now you're doing it for Krishna. That means you're in the association of devotees. So then the same activities are actually liberating. Whereas if you're not seeing Krishna in the picture, then the same activities are binding you. Because if you're not seeing Krishna, then it's me. Or my extended self, false ego. My wife, my family, my nature. Same thing. Then if it's me, then the reaction comes in it. So if there's reaction, karma, then it means material. So that's how it is. So as long as you're in the body, opportunity to serve Maya is there, and opportunity to serve Krishna is there. If you know the difference, which we do, then you can make a choice. I think we have a choice. We have an alternative now. We know We know there is an alternative than just to follow your senses, what I like and what I don't like. There's an alternative. That's done on by intelligence. So we know that one will lead to rebirth and one will lead to liberation. Activity may be the same. So when that discrimination comes, what is favorable, what is unfavorable? Except in the what is favorable for Krishna consciousness. So that when you do that, that's liberation. Liberation means no more material reaction, no more karma. A material reaction comes from the sense of I will benefit by doing this materially. In the future, I will benefit. I will get a better situation and opportunity to enjoy more enjoyment. Which is a fact, materially speaking, right? If you're pious, anyway, you move to higher species, higher planets. It's a fact, but it's the same thing. Where on any planet, you stay there for a while. And you enjoy and suffer as you're destined, and then you leave it. So, essentially, it has no real meaning. When you've left it, it has no real meaning. Although, at the time, it may seem important. At the end of this life, what will your society, your relatives, family, your friends, your loved ones, and now, which are very important, and your position, what will they mean in your next birth? Zero. You can't even remember them. But now they're very important. But last life, they was also very important. Whatever body we had, moving body anyway. But the same desires would be, the same attachments would be there, the same aspirations and dreams were there before. But what do they mean now? But then they were important. Just like these ones are important. That's why we can't let them go. That's why we can't send it to Krishna, because there is, I'm getting a feeling of shelter from my friends, my family, my nation. I'm getting a feeling of happiness from my sense of gratification. It's a real feeling, reality. But it's never fully satisfying. Right? Same thing in the morning when you wake up, it's the same thing. It's the same desires are still there. How to improve? How to improve the situation I can enjoy. Right? Same thing every morning. So, it's not actually satisfying. It's not actually working. So Bhagavatam is just repeating the same message again and again and again in different analogies, in different stories. This king, this emperor, this demigod, this insect, this monster. It's the same things. So you're hearing the same thing, right? The spirit soul is struggling to improve the situation. But they don't maintain it. Even if they get there, they can't maintain it. They're all failures, all the material stories. Yayati is one. 1,000 years of great endeavor not a great endeavor according to our relative position, because he's the emperor, he has so much facility. But he wasn't satisfied with all that facility. But it took him 1,000 years. Maya is such. What was it? Krishna consciousness is you can surrender in 1 minute or you can take many lifetimes. So, but you need, it's also the grace of the Lord, because we're trying to surrender, right? We're trying to surrender every day. But we're so addicted to that material idea of comfort and happiness that we can't shake it off. So you need the grace of Krishna. But he's pleased when you're really endeavoring. When you're really endeavoring to do that. Because that's like a prerequisite. If you want Krishna, because he's revealing himself according to our degree of surrender. So if we actually become materially satiated, I've had enough, it doesn't work. Materially exhausted, materially frustrated, you come to that position, that's the position, the healthy position to come to, then you're not interested in that, it just doesn't work. So then you don't endeavor for it. That's liberation. You're doing the same things, but your aspiration has changed, your paradigm has changed. You're not doing it for improvement because you know it doesn't work. a little bit. You can move up half an inch in one day. Then you wake it, and then you maybe move another half inch or inch the next day, or a quarter of an inch. You can. There's a little something there, a feeling of improvement, happiness. But on the long term, it doesn't work. And you know, at the end of the end of life, it's all finished. So what have you gained? So then you become, I've had it. I'm not interested. So when you say that, actually with your mind, when it comes in your mind, that I'm not going to do it. Not by intelligence, because we already know that we shouldn't be doing it. It's a waste of time. We've already heard it. We've got to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing until it sinks in. But when you actually do it with the mind, then that's liberation. So artificially we're doing it now. This is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. It's still a platform of a certain platform of liberation. Because you're rejecting what's unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. So even the desires may be there, to you won't do it. So in one sense, you're liberated on one platform. You're liberated from the reaction of that. But still, it's coming from the intelligence. It's coming out of a sense of duty. There's no realization there. But when there's realization, that's when it comes in the mind. When you've actually finished with it in the mind, that's a realization. That's another higher liberation. The Jivan Mukta. He's doing that, the desires are there, the same things are there, but he's not going for it because he's just exhausted with it. It doesn't work. He just knows it doesn't work, he's not going to bother. So then Maya has no influence. Because she's only offering two things. She's offering shelter and offering happiness. When she's also fearful, she's showing a frightening aspect, but those two aspects that we're attracted to, what we want, the opportunity, a security, and the happiness that Maya is offering. They're the only two things. If we've actually realized there is no security in the material world. No security. Everyone dies. And no security. And there's no real happiness relative to the spiritual world. We know Swarga is fantastic. What to speak of Brahma Loka? Right? Krishna says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. He said, all places are suffering. From that perspective. So that's far out, you know. Swarga's a place of suffering. Everyone's doing their tapas and pujas to get to Swarga, it's so nice. Krishna dismisses it. It's a place of suffering. You're not experiencing your relationship with Krishna in Satchidananda. You're not fully complete. And anyway, you can't stay there. And then it's risky. What birth are you going to take? Which way are you going to go in your life when you come back as a human being? So it's always risky. But because we've forgotten that Krishna consciousness, we've forgotten the higher taste, and this is the best that we've got. So it's difficult to say no. So although you may restrain the senses, the mind is still hasn't given up the idea that there is enjoyment there is security there. So it has to come from that. One has to be a little exhausted, materially exhausted. Either by, if we're more intelligent, more lucky, we can do it directly by hearing from these others' examples. That's some first-class intelligence. Otherwise, see by other people's experience, the second class, and then by your own experience, that's third class. So, what category are you in? I don't like to say, but this is the situation. So here are by their endeavor, to actually overcome the influence, the material influence, Yayati was successful. Then Krishna blessed him because he did, and then he blessed his wife also because she understood what Yayati was saying. He did it. He crossed over, and she took example, and she was, I'm through with the material endeavor. And then she actually surrendered. So they were devotees. Previously, obviously. And then Krishna reciprocates. So then she gets that liberation of, he got the liberation of his understanding, his eternal relationship with Krishna. Yeah. In the text 25 it says, and ultimately he achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. And then his wife, she heard the story, he told it in a joking way, and it awakened her to a constitutional position that it's like the material world, society, friendship and love is like the meeting in the hotel. That example is used a few times in Bhagavatam. When you go to a hotel lobby, you may strike up an acquaintance and say people and talk with them for a little while, but you know it's only one day or so. Then everyone goes their own ways, you never see them again. So like that, one lifetime, you're with a group of people, just like a hotel, long-term hotel, 100-year hotel, then they're all gone. The next body is another, you go into another hotel room and they set of... So she woke up and she saw it's exactly like a dream. And by the grace of Krishna, she gave up her imaginary identity, her role of being part of that. Being part of it means that this, by this support of society, friendship and love, I can improve my material condition. She gave that up. And then she achieved liberation from the gross and subtle bodies. What that means, I don't know whether she... But anyway, whether she actually left her body But anyway, she gave it up in this body, she gave it up. So if you can do that now, then you'll be satisfied and happy in life. Because the endeavor for happiness is the cause of misery. The secret that Prahlad Maharaj tells. The endeavor for happiness is the cause of misery, and it is the cause of taking birth again. You can't stop wanting the desire for happiness, but when you endeavor for it, that is the cause of your, materially that is, that is the cause of your, again, taking another body, because you're creating karma. I'm interacting with the material energy for my benefit, so that then the result comes to me. But an endeavor for happiness is the cause, it ends in suffering, because you may get a little happiness immediately, but initially it'll put you back in another material body, which is suffering. That was the cause, your endeavor for happiness was the cause of your taking another material birth. So when we're hearing this again and again and again, then we get more and more, we should get more and more serious about becoming a little indifferent to my likes and my dislikes. I like this, I don't like that. What does it matter what you like and what you... We're in trouble. We're in the material world. We're in this body, which is nothing but pain. If you want to follow the advice of the doctor, the gurus, say, we've got to get out of here. Oh, but I like to do this, I don't like to do that. Well, it's only one lifetime, please. If you don't take the diet, follow the medicine, how can I help you? But to give in a shortcut, you have one lifetime, you can get out, but you've got to, one has to follow. So, by intelligence or by, and then by realization, and then you get those different stages of liberation. So here reading about all these different ways and means and analogies, the people who actually came to the, got this realization and became successful, and they attained their actual eternal position back in the spiritual world. So there's another success story here. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Gangayati ki jay, Devayani ki jay. Hare Krishna. Question? Comment?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You've been mentioning about that we need to stop desiring, but from our mind. The realization has to come into our mind rather than just by through our intelligence. And I was hearing another lecture a few days ago about how the mind is in goodness and the intelligence is in passion. It was another class, not here in Mayapur. And there was kind of a doubt, as it was not really coming out, why is that the mind is in goodness and the intelligence is in passion. And when I heard you saying this, I had a feeling, well, it may
really explain that. You have to ask Bhakti Vijaya Purna Maharaj. That's it, one of his favorite topics. But I can't relate it. I can't give you an example to relate that. I'm sorry about the intelligence being in passion and the mind being in goodness. So the example I gave was just from our practical experience, where we're following by intelligence. In the stage of Vaidhi Sadhana, we're acting on intelligence. So we're saying yes or no to Maya according to intelligence. But sometimes the mind is not agreeing. Intelligence is saying no and the mind is saying yes. Because the mind is still convinced that there's something to be gained there. So although the intelligence knows there's nothing to be gained there, in one sense, the mind's not convinced, because the mind has been there and it has felt some benefit, some relief, some happiness. So that's the experience. So now you've got practical experience against philosophy. The mind is giving you just philosophy, and the intelligence is giving you philosophy, and the mind is giving you something, a practical experience. So who are you going to believe? No. the mind can say, do this, and you'll get a nice experience. And it works, right? Intelligence can't say, if you don't do that and do this, you get a nice experience immediately. But the mind knows that, and our experience is immediate, right? When you touch something smooth, cool, you get a nice experience. But intelligence says, if you don't do that, you do this, you get a better experience. But intelligence can't guarantee when it's going to be. So then you just gotta have faith. Now that faith against something substantial, this is a test of faith. You know Maya works. You've got that experience. But it's faith on the other side. Krishna says he'll give you better, but he doesn't say when. So this is the that's what the example I was. So unless it's coming from the, unless the mind has decided, the mind has experienced it, it's okay, but it's still not satisfying. Okay, little relief, and then again you got to start again. When that goes away, that feeling goes away. Again, you got to work hard to get, and there's another one. So there's a way, and the work you put in and what you get is just not worth it. So that's what becomes kind of materially exhausted to try to. So when the mind is at that stage, you don't bother. Oh, no, I'm not going to bother. I've tried it. It doesn't work. If you can't say I've heard it, it doesn't work. We're not that smart. I tried it. It doesn't work. When you actually even though you remember the experience, you're not going to go there. The mind is become mature. But I can't answer your question about the goodness and the passion of mind and things. I'm sorry. You can't stop the desire for happiness. Because your nature is ananda. So where are you going to go? Maya is giving something. Krishna's promising. And this is a problem. This is the problem in the Vaidhi Sadhana Anatha Nibriti stage. It's a problem. And that's what it means, anatha. Unwanted things, those are desires. Our leaning towards Maya, our attraction towards Maya, that's the anatha. But it will go, but it's gradual, right? The hearing and chanting, the sadhana, the practice that we're doing, it's not quick. I mean, relatively speaking, it's quick, but not as quick as we want, right? But you just be as sincere as possible about it, and then Krishna reciprocates. Then he gives all that help. But if you're not very serious about it, then you're not very serious about saying no to Maya and yes, then Krishna's not very serious with us. Okay? You got more to learn? Let Maya teach you. Okay? One, two.
In Mayapur.
So I'll accept what they come up with as a consensus. I'll accept that because I wouldn't want to do it. I don't have that. That's not my league. I couldn't make decisions like that. So I'm satisfied that we're doing the best we can. And let them, we'll follow whatever they say at the end of the day. We'll ring bells and swing incense and take Mahaprasadam. Out of my influence. Okay, one more at the back.
Hare Krishna. Pre, you told about
that's spiritual, as far as your relationship is spiritual. I mean, you know, sometimes we talk about Maya, right, with our friends. We discuss mundane things sometimes, as devotees. But even that's, you know, that's better than associating with non-devotees. So that's spirit, as long as Krishna's in the picture, then it's spiritual. As long as you're seeing Krishna, that connection with Krishna. So I see you as connected with Krishna. Krishna chanting Hare Krishna, and you're wearing tila. I see you as connected with Krishna. So I'll associate with you. So even sometimes we talk mundane things, so we'll always come back to Krishna. Whereas if you go to your house, difficult to preach to your family members, right? They just know you as your brother or your son, or, you know, that's the relationship they have. They don't, and that's a more important relationship for them. And you see, after 20 minutes, you've had enough. 1 hour, you want to get out. 2 hours, my God, when are you go back to the temple and associate with devotees? Because it's so mundane. Huh? So that's a kind of test that, you know, we do have attachment for Krishna, the devotees. So even if we're in devotees and we speak mundane things, we always go back. We don't go too far away. We always bring it back to Krishna. Because of our conditioning, we speak of things which are not, you know, 100% Krishna conscious. You know, with your friends, you chill out, or you know. But Krishna always comes back. We never go far away from Krishna. That's why you're associated with devotees. So according to your own spiritual development and your friend's spiritual development, to that relationship, to that degree, the relationship will be more spiritual or less spiritual. But at least any devotee better than a non-devotee. So and then we have that friendship. So that's not material. We have a friendship. You got to have friendships. You got to have love. You got to have society. But if it's connected with Krishna, then it's real. You can't be without society, friendship, and love, unless you're avidu. Right? We're not that. So we have a society. We're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So it means material society. Your goals are material. Your goals are how to improve the material condition and enjoy the material condition. That's material life. But our goal is to how to increase Krishna's position, how to spread the Sankirtan movement, how to get people, you know, get people on, people out of Maya and back to the spiritual world. This is our main paradigm. And how am I going to get awaken my relationship with Krishna? These are the most important things for us. But in the material world, it's not. It's all about how to develop the society, the people, how to develop the standard of security. In your city, village, or country, and the decrease the work, make life easier, and more facility to enjoy. That's the goals of all the societies in the world, all the countries in the world, the leaders. What are the goals that they have? So they're looking for happiness and security, and we're looking for happiness and security. But we're going to Krishna, and they're trying their own ways. They're looking for it in Maya, which is illusion. So when we actually start to get, when we're going to Krishna to fulfill those desires, but the process of Krishna consciousness, we're getting purified. By following the process to achieve our material desires of security and happiness, those self-desires are becoming purified. By the process of Krishna consciousness, then we realize Krishna's happiness is actually more important than my happiness. That comes at the stage when we actually begin to appreciate Krishna or fall in love with Krishna. And then you can give up your own idea of happiness for Krishna's happiness. And that's the highest sense of happiness for you also, for us, the individual. Because you can't get a high... Your natural constitution is an understanding. And Ananda. So when you've established a relationship with Krishna, then you're not going to go anywhere else for it. You got what you want, so you're not looking for that. There's not, that need is not there anymore. You've got it. You're fulfilled. You feel perfectly secure at Krishna's lotus feet, and you feel perfectly happy with the bliss that in that relationship. So then, therefore, the pure devotees don't ask for anything. Nadana, nadana, because everybody got Krishna. We accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and we reject what's unfavorable. So now we have to learn what is favorable and what is unfavorable. That's our knowledge. And when we learn it, then we apply it. It's more difficult, but that's a program. But it's within a society. Okay? So it's a material society that we're talking about, the material friendship, the material love. That doesn't work. That's not fulfilling. Okay. So, Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.